Welcome, everyone, to the todayistomorrow.show. And I am joined by my friends, Sarah Reichelt and Tim Reichelt in Australia. Don't see them yet. They are waiting. Well, a few words about the podcast as we get going here. We're recording on a Friday, and February 4th, I believe. And I'm in Austin, Texas, and it is 5 a.m., 5:05 a.m.
And Tim and I are in Australia. It's actually Saturday the 4th of February, and it is 9 p.m.
There you go. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Great, thanks, Jerry. And yes, we were just discussing the time difference, eh? It was an excellent Saturday. I hope you enjoy yours.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's a little foggy out there. It's threatening to rain. We'll see what happens. But anyway.
Well, we can tell you from our perspective that Saturday was a good day, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Okay, well, hey, can't beat having a forecast like that. All right, guys, so we're going to talk about the touch bar on the MacBook Pro. Is it raising
now,
the bar?
We have to confess, of course.
Oh, yes, confession time.
We none of us have a MacBook Pro with the touch bar, but we've all been into this store and played with one there, but that's as far as it's gone. And certainly, Tim and I ran through all the basic Mac apps, you know, Safari and Mail and Messages and Calendar and all those. But we didn't, Photos and iTunes, but we didn't, you know, get to use it in a normal workflow. So how about you, Jerry? Did you go and have a look?
Yes, I went and had a look. It's good looking. I have a lot of thoughts about it, having used it.
Oops, looks like we lost Jerry there on it. So we never know his thoughts on that.
And I've been looking at, you know, what the little methods of some of the augmenting screen, which is what we're doing.
Okay, Jerry, we just lost your sentence there completely, so you're going to have to try that one again.
Yes. I also had a look at some of the alternatives to augmenting screen functionality with something that's not the screen.
Ah, okay. Well, that's going to be interesting. Well, firstly, let's talk about the actual touch bar as we've used it in the shops. To me, it functions really well, and it does seem to provide more visible access to shortcuts. So that it doesn't give you anything that isn't already there, that isn't already in the menus or in the buttons or something, or accessible in other ways. In fact, Apple's guidelines for app developers say that you are not allowed to put something in the touch bar that is not accessible anywhere else. So it's not giving you any new features. It's just giving you an easier way to access some of the features that either they're really common things you have to do, or they're things that maybe they're a bit obscure. And as far as that goes, it did seem to be good. What do you reckon?
Yeah, what did you think of it, Tim? You have a different perspective on it than Sarah and I think.
Yeah, well, not being a developer, just a straight user, I really liked it. I know that Sarah felt this, but I get to say this first. So my main thing was that what you've got is a touch bar just below the screen. If we lived in a world where there were no iPhones or iPads, I'm sure I would have accepted this as just an unalloyed brilliant new feature. But because I spend a lot of time on an iPad, when I use the keyboard and then I use the touch bar, that upward motion leads directly to a desire to start pushing buttons on the screen itself. particularly as the machines that on display had the dock set up in the usual fashion along the bottom. So you have the touch bar, and then just above it you have the dock, a row of buttons, and the urge to put greasy smudge marks all over the screen is really strong. However, I'm sure I would adapt to it in time, but even before, from time to time, I have found myself trying to scroll pages in Safari just by swiping down the screen. And so it would take a little bit of getting used to, but don't get me wrong, my overall impression of it was pretty positive. I think it's a neat addition.
Yes, I like it also. One thing, what I did, but maybe a little different than what y'all did, is I went in to the preferences and I auto hide, or I do this in any Mac I use. I auto hide the dock. So I did that with the machine in the store as well. And so I didn't have as much temptation because I didn't see the dock there. I had my usual temptation that if I've been using a touch device, particularly an iPad, I always have the temptation to touch the screen. But so it was no stronger than that temptation. I thought it looked beautiful. I love the OLED display. The blacks are black. It's gorgeous, and yes, it's amazing. As all these innovations that Apple does, it was wonderful. So yes, I liked it. I think it's a great idea. I have several other things to say about it, but those are my initial impressions.
I'm gonna take priority here. One thing that is part of the touch bar, but that we haven't mentioned and is not a kind of an interaction with the applications, is Touch ID. And I think that's a huge thing. I would love to have Touch ID on my Mac and on my, I have it on my iPad and on my iPhone. Why not on my Mac? So I think the Touch ID is wonderful. Well, that shut them up.
Okay, well, I'll go. Two things. One is Jerry was referring to the overall look of the machine, and I thought it was aesthetically very pleasing. For some reason, I can't put my finger on why, it has the feel to me of the old Tie books. If you remember the titanium MacBooks, I'm not quite sure why that is. It's certainly a much lighter machine than the old Tie books, but there was just something about styling felt the same. As for the Touch ID, that's a brilliant thing. I presume they've got it set up. I didn't actually check this. I presume they've got it set up so that logging into the machine uses it, and not just doing transactions online or whatever. The transactions online is a great thing.
Okay, Touch ID is huge.
Jerry's blowing bubbles again.
Yes, something not very nice about the connection you've got there, Jerry.
I think you're right, Tim. I think Touch ID does your login, and it right. As well as doing your Apple Pay online.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking of university students. MacBooks are very big in universities and education. And it's a bit of a problem, security and just simply getting them swiped. And it's a bit of an inhibition to theft if the machine has Touch ID. I know it doesn't prevent it, but it certainly is. It's very good for security. I like that. Jerry,
all the times when your Mac asks you for authentication, you know, if you're opening your iCloud keychain or if you're installing some software that that needs to do more than the basics. When it asks you for your authentication, I think at any time then you can use Touch ID.
Yeah, that would be very, very cool. Okay, Jerry's back. Have you got a link now, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, hurry. We can hear you.
Good. Yes, I think a couple other things here, a couple thoughts about this. As I used it, you know, as it changed when you go to different apps, and of course you can always kind of make it back into a function key bar and that sort of thing. But as you use it in a specific app, you can do very specific things, like scrubbing in an audio or video kind of app. You can use it as a color wheel in more graphically oriented apps.
Yeah, I thought the color pickers were very cleverly done.
Quite. No, it's really good in that regard. Now, I think we've kind of laid the groundwork on what any other experience stuff, and then we'll kind of go into what is Apple going to do with this. Any other experiences you guys had that are notable?
Well, only one, which is kind of funny. I don't know if you're aware, Jerry, but I have an app in the Mac App Store called Man Reader, and it's a utility that gives you the man pages, the instruction pages built into the Unix system for all the commands, the shell commands that you can type in using Terminal. Now, you can get all these instruction pages using Terminal itself, but it's not really easy and it's not very convenient to read because it puts them up in the middle of what you're doing in Terminal, and then you have to kind of read them and remember them and then go back to try and type them in. So my reader just gives you a graphical interface to these things. And that's all very cool. But amusingly, I tried Terminal in the store using one of these touch bars, and as soon as you type a command in Terminal, it the touch bar offers you the man page to that command. So as far as the touch bar goes, I've been Sherlocked.
Oh boy, that happens. That sure does happen. I was, as you were talking about it, I thought to myself, oh well, Apple's got to have done that in the touch bar. Sorry, Sarah.
That's never mind. There'll be a lot of people that don't have a touch bar. So I guess so we all thought the touch bar is a good concept. But is it, that was in the MacBooks or the MacBook Pro specifically. How do we think it would work if we had it on the what do they call it, the Magic Keyboard? I mean, like, I would like to have it on my iMac, which has the Magic Keyboard.
I think it would be, I can't see anything but goodness here. And I would be very surprised. I think it's going to migrate within 12 months to at least one or more other Mac devices. And in a perfect world, it would be available to all of them, because I think this is, but now, right now, Apple has a price differentiator here that they can use the touch bar for. And so, yeah, they're going to do that, and they may milk it longer than that, but they really should, if they want to get aggressive, I think, they really should push this down the line and make it available to everything. And this would get us some other things, which I would be happy to talk about in a few minutes. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. When you're, it should be on all the desktop machines, and in the desktop machines, there would be a slight reduction in, not total elimination, but a slight reduction in that tendency to start dabbing at the screen because of the greater physical separation of the keyboard from the desktop machine screen.
The other thing I would say,
you could have Touch ID in an external keyboard. I think the Touch ID would have to be integrated into the Mac itself rather than be on a detached keyboard.
Because you use a keyboard with multiple machines, is that why?
Or because you can just take the keyboard away and use it, you know, somebody could nick your keyboard or borrow your keyboard or whatever. It's not an integral part of the system. It doesn't have any data storage. So
right.
I think that the Touch ID would have to be more integrated with your iCloud keychain. It would have to be connected directly to the motherboard.
Gotcha. Well,
good
yeah,
point.
We'll
I
see.
Thought of that.
I hadn't thought of it either. That's big. But I think they have to do it. Now, I'll tell you why I think they have to do it. I think in our Wild Speculation show we did at some, a while back, we talked about ARM chips migrating to Macs. And I think this is, I thought when they came out with this and I heard that the Touch Bar had its own chip, had an own system on a chip, its own ARM chip, I thought, well, now maybe this is their first dipping a toe into the pool of converting everything to ARM. And then I remember Tim and I talked about, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have a Mac Pro that instead of having, you know, all these huge Pentium or whatever Intel chips, it had like a little server farm almost of system on a chips kind of things. And it sounded fanciful when we talked about it, but here we are today. We're talking about a MacBook Pro that has an ARM chip and an Intel processor, and there's a rumor that they're also going to use that chip or another one to handle tasks while MacBooks are asleep so that it saves battery life.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it, that they seem to be approaching the inevitable, what I feel is the inevitable replacement of the Intel with in a sort of gradual manner. And you've got to think it's a pretty sensible way to go.
It's not just – the interesting part about it to me is they're not only doing that, but they're getting used to the idea hardware and software-wise of having this thing be integrated yet discrete. So this idea of having more than one ARM chip is not crazy. In fact, that it may end up being more that way. We keep thinking, oh, they've got to wait until these ARM chips are super, super, super powerful. But now we're starting to see they're using them discreetly. They're using it right now for the powering, you know, handling the OLED display and integration with the OS and various other things. But, you know, this could end up being, there could be a system, there could be an ARM chip for various parts of what a Mac does right now. So it may not just be a wholesale replacement of the Intel chip. It may be actually much more clever than that. And this would be a big deal in terms of future architecture of these devices. I'm kind of excited about it. What do you guys think?
It sounds like we've read the same article. One problem I have with reading some pundits is that I have no idea whether they're qualified to make the announcements that they make. But I read a very interesting chap who was talking about these various chips. Am I right? Did I pick up that the chip driving the Touch Bar is a relative of the watch CPU, which is
it's certainly running
thing.
A version of watchOS.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Anyway, he said in this casual, authoritative manner that that people were talking about ARM in the replacing the Intel in the desktop machines, as I was, and he said, "Oh, it's not just a matter of slapping a whole lot of cores together. So it'll be a long time before they can do that." At which point, my eyes narrow and a very suspicious look comes over my face as Apple are pretty good at keeping secrets, and to some extent I think it is a matter of slapping cores together. So okay, he may know what he's talking about, and I don't really, but I'll just be flabbergasted if Apple's chip development team have not been at work for some time on trying to develop a CPU that could replace the Intel CPU. So we shall see.
Well, in support of Jerry's theory about the multiple chips having multiple tasks, look at the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus that are just released, you know, 5 months ago or so. They have four. They each have four CPUs, two of which handle the high power stuff, and two of which handle the low power, the sort of background stuff when you need to save battery. And so they've already done exactly what Jerry is talking about in the phone. So don't tell me they can't do it in the Mac as well.
Yeah, and not just that, but it's one of the interesting aspects of this is so they're doing two things really. They've got two discrete chips in this situation we're talking about with the MacBook Pro Touch Bar, but they're also doing separate things in cores, right? Those are two different things, aren't they?
Sarah, what do you think? The Touch Bar is kind of it's a very separate system running its own, effectively its own operating system, and then communicating back much like an external keyboard or mouse would, and so it's quite distinct from the overall CPU.
Right. Now let's take this a step further. So not only do we have different chips, system on chips doing different, but we have, now in this case, we have two OSs working together virtually, a Watch OS and the OS X. Is that right, Sarah?
Yeah, it is. But if you look at a high-end gaming PC, for example, they have really smart keyboards that are programmable and that can take input from the computer and change the colors of the keys and change the labels on various smart keys. And I think the Touch Bar is very similar to that. If you think of the Touch Bar as being just another add-on, like another keyboard that's smarter than most keyboards, I think that's what you've got.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay. So I might add that this having two OSs operating in the same device, that's exactly what Google is now doing with Chromebooks. They're having Android and Chrome OS running together cooperatively yet separately. And so Apple's not the only one doing this. So this is a fascinating area. We don't know where it's going to go, but we know it's going to go. And I'm doubly fascinated by the fact that there's this rumor floating around that they're going to use an ARM chip to handle pedestrian tasks in the background while your machine is sleeping. The question is, will that be a separate ARM chip, or will they piggyback and have the Touch Bar do it, and then they put Touch Bars on everything? But you know, they could just have a separate ARM chip to handle, sleeping devices. This is fascinating. I this idea has really got me excited. I think it's pretty cool.
Can I just throw in one?
Please.
Sorry, Jerry. Fits in a little earlier when we were discussing the CPUs, but he will do. I remember reading that the performance of the machine I'm holding in my hand, which was an iPhone 7 Plus, the performance of its CPU is roughly similar to the MacBooks of, what was it, 3 years ago or something. So the idea of...
I think it's the current MacBook Air.
Is it? Well, the idea of that's just to encourage the idea that Apple cannot be so far away from having a desktop power in their CPU if they are achieving that. It's not a ridiculous suggestion to believe that they should be able to do it.
Not just that, but I think what we've just talked about the last 10 minutes. Makes it such that they can not only do this, but it seems to me that they're going to do it in a fashion that nobody would have predicted until we saw this bar working and started thinking about it. I mean, what they could do with ARM inside of future Macintoshes to eventually edge out all the Intel dependencies won't look like just duplicating the functionality of an Intel chip. It could be much more subtle than that and powerful.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's interesting that the aspect that they've gone after, if this rumor is correct, is the low power mode, you know, when your laptop is asleep. And I remember years ago when we had a Mac laptop, and when we finished with it for the day, you just slammed the lid shut, and that was it. And we were with a colleague, and he had a Windows laptop, and every time we finished, he would go into the start menu and choose shut down. And we said, well, why do you do that? Why don't you just shut the lid? He said, oh, well, that doesn't work, because if I just shut the lid, the battery's drained by the time I come back to it tomorrow. And now, the MacBooks are not that bad, but it is a problem that when you shut the lid or when you walk away from your computer, you don't want it to be doing anything crazy, and you don't want it to be running a powerful and a hot CPU that has to take power.
Yeah, well, you know, think if you expand this a little bit, there's lots of stuff that I would like a sleeping Mac to do, such as, you know, updating things in the background. There's just a lot of things that could be done with it. One more item here. We're getting close to our time limit. One more item that I thought of was, do you guys think that this is the Touch Bar? Do you guys think this is not just a power user thing? Because right now it's on a Pro machine, but do you think it will migrate to all the machines that it's so useful that it's not just for power users, and do you think it will not ruin the simplicity of the lower level Macs, like the beautiful simplicity of the MacBook, having, you know, virtually hardly any ports, being very simple, very iconic, you know, kind of machine? Would that Touch Bar kind of follow that up, or do you think Touch Bar is ready for prime time?
I rather think the opposite. I think the Touch Bar is not for pro users. The pro user has all the keyboard shortcuts under their fingertips, doesn't want to take the fingers off the keys, and is not going to want to look at a bar that changes depending on context. So you can't touch type on it. You've got to look at it and see what it's showing, and then tap the selection. So I honestly do not think that the Touch Bar is for pro users. I think the Touch Bar is much more of a sort of guiding thing for regular consumers.
Well, there's two ways to look at this. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, you're both messing with my mind now, because at first I thought that Jerry was right that it would be on all the desktop machines. And as I thought about it, I thought, no, everybody would want it. And then Jerry had me thinking about the simplicity, and Apple simplicity is, of course, a key thing with Apple. They go to great lengths to simplify things. And so he was persuading me in that direction, and then Sarah started persuading me in the other direction. So where it leaves me is this. I thought that it was elegant and pretty simple to use. But if it has its own chip and it's a fairly sophisticated screen, my guess is that there will be bottom level desktop machines and bottom level laptops that do not have it for financial reasons, cost reasons. I think it's an expensive addition, but I think it's highly desirable. So my guess is that the two bottom machines will not have it for cost reasons, and everything else should have it.
Oh, and just
interesting.
A quick reference before we wrap up, as from the developer point of view, my upcoming app, which is called Work, which is a project organizing app for the Mac, I have implemented touch bar facilities for that app, and it is really not difficult to do. Apple provides some sample code to get you started, and it really is only sort of 2-3 methods that you've got to add to one of your files, and then it's all there.
I want to backtrack a little bit. I want to backtrack to pro users again, because you reminded me. There's different kinds of pro users. There's graphic-driven pro users, and then there are software developers and coders. And coders do not want to lift their fingers off the keyboard. You're right, Sarah. However, people doing sophisticated graphics will use almost anything they can get their hands on to augment what they're doing. Example being the dial that you can get with Surface Studio, the Microsoft machine that came out. And that, I believe, is a much more sophisticated pro user kind of thing. At least that's the way I look at it now. I may be completely wrong about this going forward. And so I don't know. It depends on what kind of a pro user you are. Are you a typing kind of pro user, or are you really using a lot of mouse or trackpad and screen? You know, so the to be determined. And as far as what Tim said, cost will go down on these things, probably dramatically. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't necessarily. Yeah, it would be pretty cool if they did.
Yeah. Well, okay. By backtracking, you've opened up the possibility for me to make a comment that I missed out making earlier, and that is that for people who, like myself, who like working with images full screen in photos, it's the touch bar is really good because when you are adjusting the images, you can have them full screen and not have the controls overlaying your image and messing with it. You can have the controls that you're using to manipulate your image all on the touch bar, and therefore it's a very clean image on the screen that you can work with. Okay, that was my last point. Thank you.
Okay, we're at the end, it seems like. Yes,
yep,
everybody check out what Sarah's doing.
Yep,
check out what Sarah's doing.
Like to be a beta
tester.
Yeah, I'm looking for beta testers for my work app. So if you go to trozz.net, you can there's a web page there. You can contact me if you'd like to test it. And I'm also Trozzware on Twitter if you want to talk to me.
Cool. Yeah, I'm working on some projects that I'm not quite ready for a public beta yet, but should be here in the next couple months. I'm kind of excited about that. And so, Tim, anything we can help you with and help you promote?
Yes, I'm working on the B flat bar chord on my guitar.
I
don't think you can help me with it.
I can help you with that.
Kickstarter.
All right.
Thank
okay,
you, guys.
Well,
bye-bye.
It's been fun talking about the touch bar, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, so this is Today is Tomorrow .show signing off. And, yeah, it's been great. A lot of fun. All right, talk to you guys next week.
Bye. From tomorrow.